Hey, this is Varun Shur.
Hey, this is Arvind Parthiban. Welcome to SaaS Bhoomi BTS,
where we take you behind the scenes and share incredible marketing stories from Indian SaaS startups.
The failures, the successes, the disasters.
Hear from the real heroes who are putting India on the global SaaS map. Let's tune in.
Welcome to BTS SaaS Bhoomi podcast. Today, I have a very interesting guest. In fact, she's not just a guest. She's a very good friend from my Freshworks days, Yashasree Narayanuri. And she's currently the VP of Customer Marketing at Sprinklr. And she used to work in Freshworks for a very long time. I think almost 6 to 7 years, I guess, from the early days of Freshworks for leading customer success, been in CEO office, then eventually set up customer marketing and was the director of global customer marketing advocacy and community at Freshworks. So without further ado, welcome, Yashasree.
Thank you so much, Arvind. Good to be on the podcast.
This is going to be so exciting. Personally for me, because I'll get to learn so much on this newer field of customer marketing. I can't wait to ask. I have like a lot of questions ready over here, Yashasree. Can't wait to ask you about them. This is going to be a fantastic learning experience to understand the ins and outs of customer marketing. So we begin all of these episodes by really understanding each organization that the guest was part of. So in this case, we'd love to know more about the org chart at Freshworks and how it evolved and how it eventually took you to that space of, kind of like owning customer marketing at Freshworks. So if you could walk us through the org chart at Freshworks, who did you report to initially by the time you left? How had that evolved? And who did you report to? What was that structure like?
Sure. First of all, thanks, Varun, for having me on the podcast. It's a pleasure to be interacting with you. So I'll start with how this all happened, right? Obviously, customer marketing is a very new function as it is globally, and it's been evolving over the last couple of years. So back at Freshworks, I think we started off with one product and we started building a lot more products and we had a suite of products. And like Arvind was mentioning, I was part of the customer success function, leading that for a while. And what used to happen was when we looked at, how we engage with our customers at scale, more from an adoption perspective, purely, the kind of marketing help that we got, it often happened that, there would be a prospect webinar that would happen. And when they fell short of, registrations there, somebody would just then send out that email to the existing customer base, right? And these were different marketing teams doing that for the right reasons. But then, eventually we realized that that's not what existing customers wanted. Similarly, we had a whole function of CSMs who would create their own newsletters and send it out to existing customers every month or, in whatever cadence would make sense for them. Some of them are great at marketing. They would build out great newsletters versus others are not. And that's not supposed to be their core job. So I think we started seeing that there were so many gaps in terms of making our customers aware of how to use the existing products better, how to let them know what else we can do for them, and how can we really make the CSMs more efficient and help them do their job better rather than, asking them to do all kinds of marketing activities. So that is when, as a company, we realized that, we needed a dedicated marketing function in order to engage contextually and meaningfully with our existing customer base. And obviously, as a result of that, drive revenue from our existing customer base. So that's when I think we hired our chief growth officer, Arun, who just joined us. And then we were thinking about the entire funnel. So we had marketing functions across corporate. Arvind was leading that. Then we had field marketing. We had integrated campaigns and so on. So when we looked at it, we were always focused on the prospect bit of it in some sense. And then to sort of complete the loop, we brought in, we started sort of, setting up the whole customer marketing function. And of course, I mean, whatever I do, I'm passionate about existing customers. I think that's the first love that I have. I love seeing customers happy and being successful. And I'd seen the sort of challenges that we faced. And when the company was thinking about setting something like this up, I obviously was super excited and I was asked to sort of kick that off. So even though I was not a marketer, given that I had context of what our customers wanted, I sort of made that shift and I don't regret it at all. So you know, that's how it started.
Before you talk about the org chart, one learning that I had from SaaSBoomi 2020 event was Shekhar Kirani was on stage and Girish was also there. And he was explaining, and this was a mind-blown, you know, kind of like a thing for me personally, because he explained how SaaS companies cannot really scale beyond 10 million of ARR unless the NRR is super strong. And they have seen a pattern at Accel that if, you know, if a company has like 30% NRR, then the company will eventually get there. They will eventually scale. And I think it also comes in from really understanding that growth happens beyond the sale as well. Something people are now realizing, but how crucial it is. So it post like $5 million or 10 million of ARR, you might get there with like a negative NRR, but after that you will stall. You will get a stall warning, so to speak, from the autopilot saying you can't scale beyond this and you really have to focus on that. And I think it kind of like stems in from that as well. Would love to know more on the org structure once the customer marketing, you know, when this decision was made, okay, we're going to focus on our customers dedicatedly for marketing. How did the org change? Because one thing that people, you know, leaders, business leaders, so to speak, also struggle with is that they want to effect change, but the organization doesn't reflect that change. So that's why I really would, I'm curious on how did the org at Freshworks evolve once this decision was taken?
Sure, absolutely. And I think you touched upon a great point. And I think so customer marketing means different things to different companies. And it also depends on the stage at which the company is, or whether you're a single product company or a multi-product company. So for us, we were a multi-product company, and our, you know, primary objective was to, you know, drive growth and sort of cross-sell our other solutions to the existing customer base. So we prioritized that as the main area of focus when we started off the function. So, and then obviously we are a large organization. We sell to SMBs, we sell to mid-market and a little bit of enterprise as well. So we had sales teams, the inside sales team sits in India, then we have sales teams sitting across the globe. So the way we sort of structured the org then is, I mean, without interacting with sales, there's nothing much you can do to sort of drive growth. So it was extremely important for us to ensure we're working hand in hand with account managers whose primary revenue number was the expansion revenue. So we then had somebody heading growth overall, and then we had somebody heading it for our SMB business, and then we had somebody sort of heading it for mid-market, and then each person for one region to begin with. So it was sort of a six-member org purely from a growth standpoint that we started off, given the scale that we had. And you obviously need to have people in the time zone when it comes to US market and so on. And in some sense, we set up the center of excellence in Chennai that will design the strategy and the programs get created. And the execution of it on ground would happen through field marketing teams that were, you know, within these regions. So that's sort of a high level structure that we had purely from a growth standpoint. And we started doing that. We set up the growth engine in place. We started exploring different channels. We started seeing success. And maybe later on, I can touch upon that's when advocacy became the next big priority. And then community, Arvind can add a lot more on that side. So slowly we start moving, you know, one after the other, but predominantly the whole, you know, lead gen and demand generation aspect from the existing customer base was the first priority for us at that time. So we started setting up the team that way.
I'm going to ask essentially that one obvious question, which we were all asking in Freshworks. So NRR, right? So this is one goal, one OKR owned by multiple functions. Like it's not just one function. It will be customer success owning it, sales and farming team owning it, and then customer marketing team, and then corp marketing and individual product also has
this. Sales also owning it.
Yeah, sales also will own it, right? So this is like one success which has many fathers kind of a goal. So like this was very hard to manage and also to attribute. So I think that is one question for all the companies at that stage. We are talking about the company which is at a 200 million revenue kind of a stage. Like this was very, very tricky. And I heard that there were a lot of progress after it all kind of came into one single structure. I'm curious to know, like, how did you measure it? How will you attribute it?
Absolutely. No, I think this is Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's something that we also struggled with initially because it's not driven by one team or one function. Everyone has to come together. But I mean, obviously, in order to sort of give direction and prioritize activities that you had to do, ultimately, we sort of broke down the NRR. If you actually look at it, it's your expansion revenue minus what you lose in downgrades and churn. And I think at an org level, we ensured that the CCO's org or the customer success function predominantly focuses on retention to ensure at one point, you know, it's almost like a circle where they are focusing on, you know, continuously keeping the churn low. CSMs are, you know, incentivized and compensated on ensuring that customers do not leave us, right? And they just be the true advocate, a true champion for that customer inside of Freshworks. And they have absolutely no incentive to just, you know, go and drive more revenue. They're just there to help customers and help customers see value from the products that they're using. So in some sense, customer success as a function was consistently focused on bringing down your churn and downgrades. And on the other side, the sales team is focused on, you know, consistently driving up more revenue from the account books that they hold, where they work hand in hand with the CSMs. So at least there's one, while NRR is everybody's metric, there is one focus metric where all the programs will be designed around that metric for each of these functions, customer success and account management. And there we are, marketing comes in to make it even more complex. I think the way we started off is by sort of committing X number of opportunities, you know, to different sales teams. Like I was explaining the structure. So the SMB person on our team would have a goal to say on the SMB base, he or she needs to generate X number of leads that will eventually be passed on to sales through marketing campaigns, similarly on mid-market. So that worked fine for some time. But again, somewhere in some sense, we sort of felt that, you know, leads is a marketing only metric and sales really doesn't care about that. So we further evolved to say our role is to help salespeople meet their number. And in some sense, we sort of then evolved to a pipeline influenced sort of metric where we say, hey, you know, this specific region, your usually your typical revenue goal breaks into new revenue and expansion revenue. And this expansion revenue further breaks down into regions, segments, whatever. So we say we will help you achieve X percentage of that overall expansion revenue that's on your head. And then we will, you know, help you with anything that you need on ground. So I think in this whole evolution, the closer we got to sales, the more successful we became. So I think that was how we evolved from the whole NRR piece.
Interesting. So how, you then joined Sprinklr very recently, right? So how is that organization? And you haven't had time to influence the organization with Sprinklr. So how is the structure different from what you saw at Freshworks? Because I think Freshworks was fairly organic and self-discovery kind of like a structure. Sprinklr, I would presume, because it's been public for a while, it's fairly established. How is it different? What do you see different in the org structure at Sprinklr versus Freshworks?
So I think the customer profile is completely different. So here we're looking at multi-million dollar deals at Sprinklr, and we're looking at really large customers versus Freshworks obviously is more one is to many at scale. And even if you go up market, we're talking about 100K, 200K sort of ARR deals versus that's like the lowest bucket here at Sprinklr. And then it goes into tens of millions when you, you know, look at the larger customers that they have. So given the customer profile is different, the sort of marketing tactics that we use, for instance, a simple like email as a channel is not something that we would ever use at Sprinklr, right? Because these are, we're talking about the Microsofts of the world. We're talking about like the largest of companies who are engaging day in, day out with a lot of people from the, you know, from Sprinklr, for instance. So the way we set up the structure again is going to be a little different given it's a month. We're still sort of figuring out how to get it, you know, aligned. But one rule remains simple. That is to align to sales, right? So sales structure defines ultimately the marketing structure, and the more easy we make it for them to work with us. So here it's more, they have different segments and we have sales teams by segments. So be it growth or advocacy, I think ultimately aligning to the sales structure makes a lot of sense. But it's going to be very different because there's going to be a lot of account-based marketing that we'll be using here at Sprinklr, where you just take one account and you can have, you know, like one person focusing on just five accounts and keep driving marketing activities throughout the year because the potential is just unlimited. So that way, I think it's completely different. The scale marketing here is very different versus here. It's more very, very high touch. You sort of have to have that whole white glove treatment. You market to execs versus sort of, you know, users or admins in some sense. So
a lot of steak dinners, I presume. We were a Zora customer and their ACVs were fairly high. So we were invited very regularly, I think every 6 months or so, to a really fancy Michelin star restaurant. And the table structure, so initially there would be drinks and we would interact with a bunch of those people who would be invited to that event. And eventually when we got to dinner, the table structure was very intelligently designed where we would be paired with at least 2 to 3 leads. So each existing customer was, made to sit around 3 existing leads at a fancy restaurant. And then we would influence their decision making. And I was like, this is a learning experience, you know. So, okay, so this is what happens once your ACV crosses beyond 100K ARR. So you have a lot of these steak dinners and all.
It sounds like our user conference and how we did a similar thing. We made prospects sit with our happiest customers with the sales. Yeah.
This was a very intimate setting. I think the invites were barely like 30 people at max, but the restaurant was always fancy. So when we got the invitation and we saw the restaurant, we could never say no. Like when I say we, this is me and my co-founder, Jamie Edwards, who used to be in London. And we saw, look, okay, so it's now at Hakkasan. It's now at this Michelin star restaurant. We have to go. So there was never an opportunity for us to say no because the dinner was just so good. So I presume a lot of those things are going to happen at Sprinklr. Now, I'm curious on customer marketing as a space. You briefly touched upon that, the genesis of it. What I'm curious on is where is it going and how is it different from community marketing, which is also talked about a lot. Community is such a buzzword now in SaaS. It's like people are talking about it and I don't think half of the people really know what it means, but it's just a buzzword. So how is it different from community marketing? And this is for you as well, Arun, because this is where...
I'll just set a prefix on how this actually started and how it all came together. Sure. Then probably Shri can, she ran both these under team. So when we did refresh, we did 3 refresh and after the conference, everybody wanted one platform to continue the conversation and they wanted to more than just talking to the individuals in Freshworks, they wanted to talk with the customers. The learnings across the products, across customers were very important. They wanted a platform. So that's when we thought, okay, why not we start a community? So under Corp Marketing, before I left Freshworks, I initiated the community plan and parallelly, Ashashri was from customer success, she was starting up the customer marketing. So this surprisingly started in the same month, both customer marketing and community, 2 parallel different teams. And then after a while, we thought, okay, maybe this makes sense to bundle it together. Customer marketing, one lever is community, advocacy and other things comes together. So we had to put this under one team and it's one of the most powerful team now. So I'll let SST talk about how it's different and activities and stuff like that.
Absolutely. No, I think like Arvind was mentioning, I think we realized in back then, by the way, when we started, it was not even like everybody had a community. Now, if you see even early stage companies are, you know, driving community based growth, right? So I think back then it was mainly Salesforce and Atlassian who had a very thriving community for developers and trailblazers, we all obviously know. So I think it all came through from the whole user conference where, you know, why do we really have to meet customers only every year after year? Why can't we have a platform where we engage with them all throughout, right? That's when this idea sort of got conceived and Arvind sort of kicked off initiatives there. I think how it's very different and why we thought these functions should come together is because in order to kick off any activity, you would need your existing customers to be your first champions. So be it, you know, driving a user conference or be it sort of launching a community, I think the first people who will vouch for you and who will sort of, you know, do whatever you ask them to will be your existing customers. And somehow we felt given that there's so much engagement happening on the customer marketing side. And there's going to be a lot of overlap. If we want to launch a community, you know, both virtual and in person, and if we want that to sort of take off in a big way, we're supposed to be leveraging our existing customers, you know, extremely well. So that's how then we, you know, move the team under the customer marketing function, because there's heavy overlap. And I think pretty much just like you spoke about customer marketing, even community is a function that spans across the entire company. First of all, your exec leadership should have the right sort of, you know, they should at least have the clarity to say, what do you want to do through this community, right? There are different objectives why people launch communities. Do you want to, it to be purely engagement focused and you don't want to, you know, really start seeing growth from day one? Or do you want it to be more of a brand engine? Do you want it to be sort of a place where you generate leads? So I think people have different ideas about community. And I think it's important that as an organization, when you kick off these efforts, the vision is laid out very clearly on what you want to achieve through it. And I think for us, it was clear. It was sort of giving a platform for professionals, either in support or ITSM or marketing, all of them to sort of come together and, you know, just give them a space to freely engage with each other, learn from each other, get access to the best content, get access to the best influencers in these domains, learn beyond just about Freshworks. And we sort of brought in everything under Freshworks into one umbrella and then had it there. So you want to access Academy, you come on to the community. You want to, you know, ask a question, connect with somebody in your network, you can do that. So we then also went back and evaluated what kind of platforms we need to be using. You know, there are many new age platforms that have come up that help you, you know, sort of engage one-on-one with people on the community. You can do like very interesting things like pairing, you know, one of your customers with a relevant sort of persona so they can, you know, get together and talk. So I think there's a lot of innovative things that you can do if your platform really supports that. So for us, mainly, I think when we launched it, we had sort of no revenue objective from that at all. The whole objective was to ensure that, you know, we get people together and we provide them value through content, through connecting them with the right set of folks. So I think eventually that's, you know, automatically giving us leads, automatically, you know, making prospects join the community. So it's an open to all community. We started off with driving our customers onto it. So I think right now we're about last when I left, I think about 16,000-17,000 odd members on the community. So,
wow. So on those steak dinners, you know, what was an interesting learning for me was, and this is kind of like leading to the next question I have, is I asked my rep over there, like, so do you store all of this as CAC in your CRM? And like every bit of it. And that was very surprising. He said, you know, if I open your CRM record right now, there's a CAC for this dinner that you've been invited to, which will eventually then be used to calculate your LTV and all those other metrics that we have. And I was like, this is, you know, KPI is a discipline, like at least that Zora had kind of like nailed it. And I'm curious on like, what do you feel? You mentioned like you started off by not focusing on growth or leads, and eventually there was pure sales alignment. How do you think the KPI should be structured for customer marketing in an organization?
So I think, see, at this point, I think over the last few years, it's evolved quite a bit, and there are different areas customer marketing focuses on. So like I mentioned, there is one bit that's all about growth. And again, obviously, it's not to say that you will drive it independently. You will still have to figure out where in the customer journey can you really start that growth trigger, what kind of campaigns you can drive. Like Arvind was mentioning, how do you sort of leverage in product as the biggest channel because you have access to existing customers? How can you find the right points, you know, when they're trying to, when they find something difficult? Like, for instance, one thing that worked very well for us is, as the volume of tickets go up and it meets certain, you know, sort of level, we then show up a trigger to say, hey, why don't you, you know, use bots so you don't have to add additional agents, but you can reduce some of your repeated tasks. So we used to call out, hey, so-and-so are, you know, where is my order sort of tickets that you're getting, and you can sort of bring this down using bots. So just contextually placing some of these growth triggers, I think we saw almost double the response that we get on email in through in product. If you time it well, and if you're, you know, hitting it hard when the customer is actually facing a problem and you're trying to solve that through a solution. So I think that worked really well. So coming back to your question on the KPIs, right? So on the growth bit, it is predominantly, you might start off with, you know, different things like interactions, engagement, leads, but ultimately I think you have to get to sort of a revenue number there, right? So those are focused activities, and that needs somebody thinking purely from a number perspective, and then, you know, putting these plans out together, working closely with account managers and ensuring they meet their targets. The other part is, again, the whole piece on advocacy. We can go in detail, you know, about it later, but pretty much the customer stories that you put out there, right? Your testimonials, your reference repository that your sales is going to use for prospect deals. Who are these customers who are going to come into, you know, calls with your prospect to sort of vouch for your product? Your logos, what can you use? What can you not use? You know, continuously, like, keeping this updated and giving it, you know, basically giving sales and all the other teams easy access. So it's like many different things, like product is launching new modules. They want beta customers who'll be okay to sort of try them out. Arvind will do an event, like, for instance, whenever we drive refresh, like, you know, have the event, driving registrations for that, finding customer speakers for that. So product, marketing, sales, every team in the company literally has asks from customers. So how do you manage all of that? And how do you not be reactive about it, but think of a program where you're constantly onboarding advocates, engaging, and then ultimately leveraging them for all of these things. So there won't be any number metric. It's all really, you know, are you putting out boring, long case studies that are PDFs, or are you putting out bite-sized videos that are, you know, easy to be consumed by others and so on. So it's more, you know, quality over really measuring it with a number. The whole community piece, I think, see, before it scales, really going by like a revenue metric and, you know, getting all of that to CAC, I don't think that will really work out. And I'll ask Arvind to share his thoughts as well on this. We were very clear that the first 2 years, till we hit a particular scale, all we're going to focus on are the number of customer interactions that happen on the community, which means not even that we put out, you know, how many things that Freshworks put out on the community or how many things that Freshworks responded to. We want to track conversations among customers, and we want to see how to keep that number going high. We want to see how in a month, how many times people are, see, this is a new platform, and you have WhatsApp, you have Facebook, you have LinkedIn. Nobody wants to come into another platform. So you come into it only when you have, I mean, great example is the podcast that you guys are doing, right? Like, unless there's value that somebody sees and they want to come and access that content, or they get access to AMA, for instance, with a Shep Hyken or, you know, Stephen Mann and so on, that's when people come back. So the team is constantly thinking about what do we do to ensure that people find value and ultimately they're coming in. And once it hits a scale, people are going to talk about it. You are going to get, you know, more ITSM folks onto the community, more CX folks onto the community, and ultimately that drives revenue. But Arvind, you can add if we should really
idea of the community itself is, see, for marketers, inbound goes without saying. Every marketer, if they want to learn, they go to inbound. Every developer, they either go to AWS community or Jira community. So our thought process was, where do all customer support folks go to learn, exchange notes, or at least create a hangout with their own similar kind of people? So we wanted to be inbound for customer support folks, or I would say service management or customer support, whatever it is, right? So that's the whole agenda, right? Eventually, see, it was not initially tied with some goals. It's more about adoption, engagement, and add value. Later, that will fall in place eventually, right? So we wanted to bring in, I was really glad to hear there are 70,000 people on the platform now. But every effort was towards bringing that engagement and adding value. So more than us teaching them, let them learn for themselves. So that was that.
You know, there's a remark I want to make based on my experience. And that is that Yashasri started this one by saying she's passionate about customers and really wants to see them happy. She also mentioned that, you know, there are a lot of platforms where you can pair a persona with one another. One thing I think which is being underplayed over here is on the customer marketing team, you really need passionate people who absolutely care about customers. Because I've had interactions on the buyer side with companies where no introductions have been made, right? So they might still be using those platforms, but culturally, they just don't care about customers. And I have had interactions on the buyer side where some really good additions to my network and, you know, introductions to people have been made by people who were selling to me. Like, hey, why don't you meet this person? And I think there's a major part of this customer marketing piece, and that is making sure the team is filled with passionate people who care about customers. If you build this team out with people who are not culturally aligned with this objective, no matter how many tools you have, I don't think you're going to see the results. And I think that's being underplayed over here because you just see that as a default. I don't, because I've seen, like, it's not a default thing that exists.
I'll share one more story. I think I'll have to go back to this user conference story and how we were able to pull this off. It's an inside story. Maybe I should share that and ask how SSJ did. So when we flew the blimp, the user conference was a week after the blimp. So literally. And usually in our experience, when we do user conference and we kind of drove 450 people in New York, I think the first event. First few months, we were not able to even get 20 registrations. We sent mailers. We asked the salespeople, we reached out, and the registrations didn't drive that much. So we took a step back and said, like, what is the best way to get registrations to the event? And we went to the customer success team. Back then, I think SSG was heading the customer success there. So we said, see, this is what we want. We want at least to get 500 people in the New York event, and we have hardly a month left. Guess what? We got 450 people attending the event. And the pure connection the customer success team had with all the customers in the US, they were able to bring 1,000 folks. So we basically gamified it a little bit, brought in some Swift program and all, but it worked wonders. From that event to London to Vegas, we kind of brought 1,000 people, 1,000 folks in Vegas, and then London, another 500 folks. Like, literally customer success drove all the registration.
Yeah, and over here again, so it speaks highly for the team that was created, because in a lot of organizations, you have customer success, but there's that connect with customers doesn't exist. They're seen as rows in an Excel sheet, which maybe just need to be reached out. And there were clearly relationships established over here that you were able to drive that much audience in less than a month. And I think, again, it's about that people piece. You can't fill your customer marketing teams. You can't fill your customer success teams with people who do not care about your customers. So you have to make a conscious effort. This is one of my biggest learnings at my days at Kayako. Like, if you make these mistakes, you will have a team, but it's dysfunctional. So culturally, this needs to be.
I can't agree more. And I think you touched upon a really amazing aspect there, because there are no customer marketing professionals in India, and even globally, they're very few. It's like a very small community. So rightly, like you said, I think we want to make sure while there is a marketing mix to it, we consciously chose even marketers who were close to customers in some sense. Either, you know, somebody who's worked on building out customer stories, worked very closely with customers to bring their stories out, or, you know, people who've done specifically customer events. So any sort of thing that showcases that they're passionate about helping customers, that's one thing that we saw. And we also moved some other people from customer success onto customer marketing, because rightly, like you said, I think just that, like, when we don't respond to a customer, somebody should feel the pain.
Yeah.
And that's when, right, you know, you have the right team.
So your whole team is customer success in customer marketing.
Majority of it. But we do need core marketers. So we do have some of them. But yeah. No, but I think what we did that time was amazing, because we tried to sort of leverage in product as a channel to drive registrations. And we had our own chat solution. So we used that to sort of personalize reach outs to customer from the CSM's name. And each CSM would put in their own message in their natural tone, how they engage with their customers and then do it. So I think that's how the scale was driven. And topped up with that was the whole gamification that we did for CSMs. But yeah, I think that really worked well, because then customers knew that, you know, some CSM said, hey, you know, we are going to be there if you come. And that meant a lot for a lot of customers. So, yeah, I think that was the fun exercise that we did.
So while you were explaining a bunch of roles of customer marketing, which was driving testimonials, getting like a beta for a product evaluated, a lot of those are overlapping with product marketing. So where does product marketing fit into the customer marketing piece? Like, does it get subsumed? Is it still a separate thing? Because there are those overlaps in those initiatives that you talked about, which are traditionally thought of as like a product marketing.
Very good question.
I know why Arvind is smiling.
I'll take a stab at it
and I'll obviously be honest about sharing our challenges, and then Arvind can take it forward from there. But I think what I have seen is, if you're still in early stage, or if you're, you know, mid growth stage sort of a stage, and if you're like a single product company, pretty much you'd see that product marketing does all of this. Because it's one product, they're focused on getting, you know, customer testimonials. They're focused on, making sure they're reaching out to customers for beta. So pretty much they are sort of the marketing support for the product function. But as you scale, and especially if you're a multi-product company, then the incentives of product marketing become very different. And especially when it comes to the existing customer base. Now, there are two product heads. Each one wants to drive revenue for their respective product. The easiest way to do it is to get it from the existing customer base, right? So you're constantly sort of bombarding the existing customer base with two different messages, which are, you know, siloed and each with their own KPIs and metrics. And you're also increasing the frequency of communication with mixed messages. And there's no like a unified segmented approach to see who this product fits into, because everybody wants to use the entire base. So as we sort of scaled, and I think that's where Arvind's also smiling. So we had n number of different product marketing teams, because our personas are also very different. When we kicked off this function, it was not easy, let me put it that way, because everybody wants access to the existing customer base for the right reasons and for the KPIs that they have. So it was a very complicated change management exercise, where we had to first build trust to say that customer marketing exists not to take away control from everybody and not let anybody use the existing customer base, but to make it easy for everybody to get what they want. And also keep the efforts targeted to ensure that they're driving, you know, not just hitting in the dark, but there is a team that is committing to say that we can drive so much cross-sell for this specific product, and here's the plan, and this is the base, and here's how we're going to go about doing it. And the whole, like, obviously, the whole customer communication piece is a very sensitive topic usually when you have different teams, because corporate wants to reach out to customers, product marketing wants to reach out to customers. So we took some time, but I think we evolved to a stage where we sort of helped everyone understand and build trust to say that we are an enabler team and not like taking away control and being a blocker. So Arvind, I think you can...
See, I'll tell you why it is important.
And why, which nerve did I touch? I'm also curious on that.
No, it is. It was challenging. A lot of people didn't understand the purpose of centralizing it and streamlining it. And without mentioning the company or the product which had this problem, when every team started sending mail, the product manager wants to send an in-product update about what released this month. Blogs team want to send updates on what are blogs released. Product marketing team wants to give an update. Corp marketing. And there are, when the company grows, there are multiple products. The flagship product becomes the easy, low-hanging fruit to make quick revenue. So everybody wants to sell some promotional activity to customers. So over a period of time, in one company, one product, 45 days, within a period of 45 days, 27 mails have been sent to a customer, right? That was not tracked, right? If everybody can go and access the email, the existing customer base, this is what it is, right? So you have to be mindful. The customer should not feel frustrated getting so many emails from them. So we had to have a number of limits to be touch point, like multiple touch points, how we communicate with them, what emails has to be sent. All customer communication has to go through one single team, whether it is a central marketing team or a customer marketing team, name it whatever you want, but the pain is real when the company grows. So that's what I'm trying to say.
I think there's another very important point on this one. It's not just the volume which is a problem. So when your company has grown, the brand's kind of like all over the place, right? And that's why you have these agencies come in with multi-million dollar contracts, trying to standardize that into a brand voice or try and make attempts at appearing consistent, right? And like, if this is not centralized, then how do you get that brand voice in place? How do you make sure that it appears as one single personality that, you know, the leadership has set? It's impossible. Yeah. Because if everyone's owning the customer comms, it's down to the individual way of writing. So engineers will write as engineers.
Yeah.
And they'll be super technical, and product marketers will write as product marketers. And eventually you'll have a brand voice which is non-existent and all over the place, and people just can't relate to. And I think it's not just the volume at play over here. It's also consistency on the brand voice and making sure that it's consistent with what's on the other touch points, which is your website or your field marketing or your events. And it appears as one cohesive unit, which makes sense now because customer marketing, it, and all of this is unraveling in my head as you're speaking, by the way, because I've had no experience with customer marketing before. It makes sense to me now because it's not just the email where the consistency is going to be with customer marketing. It's also the field marketing. It's also the other touch points. It's also the events. So customer marketing is not just in terms of driving the revenue or leads. There's this overarching component of making sure that the brand voice is fairly consistent. And this is where I now see where customer marketing has a strong overlap with the brand marketing in a mature company as well, making sure They are the drivers for existing customers, making sure that the message is consistent. Okay. A lot of learnings over here.
All right. So actually, I have another question, Sreet. So this is something which I think we both went through together in the challenge between being a house of brand versus branded house and everything, right? Like there is a history of how Freshworks kind of grew from one product to multi-product, and then the flagship product had a much more bigger brand. Eventually, we had to build multiple products and bring it under one umbrella, right? Customer marketing sits on all of these products where customers come for one point product, they've not heard of other products. How hard it is, hard it was for you to create that a perception or change their perception of we are a bigger brand, we are not just one point product. Like what kind of challenges did you face in educating the customers? Or that is more important for you to achieve that NRR goal, right? Like what were the challenges that you faced there?
I think when we started off the function, right, we tried out multiple pilots to first understand where our customers are, what are they even thinking about, right? So we had a series of programmatized emails that will eventually help us understand at what awareness level are our customers today in terms of who we are and, you know, what do we have for them and, you know, what kind of value they're seeing from the current products. Are they happy, sad? So obviously this feedback was then passed on to various teams that will work on it. But we did this initial study to at least understand in some sense, maybe maturity level, if I might want to call it, in terms of how well they know Freshworks and how well they're using the product that they are currently using. So obviously to, I think just like we discovered in Refresh, we've seen this, heard this multiple times. Every time we go for a QBR, the largest of customers don't know that we have another solution that can actually work for them, right? So all through these emails, one feedback was consistent that, hey, we never knew that you had ITSM, or we never knew that you had bots. We've been looking for bots, right? Like, and these were for the most obvious things. So even certain features which were very, very obvious in Freshdesk, again, you know, something that they never took the pain to ask. And but then when we sent it out, it just, they were like, oh, we really didn't know this, right? So I think we first gathered at what sort of awareness level they were at. And then we designed all our programs. Like if we look at emails, it would somehow subtly make them discover everything else that we do as a company. So our consolidated newsletter, like if you remember, we had a section on product, which is the current product that they're using, and just very high level release notes on what's happening there, where they can go to another section and read in detail. It will also have some amount of knowledge on the domain, which will somehow then help them learn more than just beyond the product. And then ultimately it will cover in their region what kind of events are happening and so on. And we consciously made it that if they were like 2 to 3 products in a specific, like in CX, let's say we have Fresh Success, we have Fresh Desk, but all of these people receive the same newsletter. So in some sense, every month they're looking at something else other than what they're currently using, and it just gets registered that, you know, there are at least, when I'm a CX persona, I know there are 4 or 5 different solutions that Freshworks is offering. So that was one thing, and it took time. And then ultimately we had to have these micro events, you know, where obviously Refresh is the flagship event, and then we broke them down into micro events where we would go in and have product teams present. We would have demo booths of all the other products that we have. We had customers coming and talking. We had panel discussions. So even there, we would ask them to, one, come and also get, let's say, their IT counterpart or their sales counterpart to sort of drive this visibility. So initially, it was obviously very challenging because we started off at like a zero ground where we didn't consciously put any effort unless we did like a PR, and customers don't go out there on LinkedIn to read everything that you put. So, but I think over time, as we started doing these events, we started consciously doing webinars. We started sort of, you know, like tag along with your IT point of contact for a fun event that we had. So pretty much, you know, doing these things then helped us, you know, drive that awareness across the different, you know, customers that we had in terms of all the solutions that we had. And I think consciously the corporate events that we did and everything that brand did as well played a role there.
So are the events owned by customer marketing and Freshworks?
So some of them, like the micro events that I spoke about. So for instance, we do a lot of roundtables, which are again very focused. So if like public sector for us is big in the UK, so we would have existing customers come in, and then we would have an advocate speaker who will just like, you know, just like an hour meet and greet, network, and then walk away with, you know, one new solution that all this group can then learn and go back with. So we would do that. Then we had something called Customer Success Day, which is a slightly larger event and slightly smaller than Refresh, right? So where we cover, go geography by geography, we call in all the customers that we have there across all the three persona. So they get to hear a generic sort of overview of the vision of the company, which will then cover all our different solutions. Then they go into their specific product and learn more. They get to interact with the CSMs and support folks and so on. So we used to own these events. Yeah.
So there, you know, we haven't, now that I realize, we haven't really covered the depth of customer marketing, and there are a bunch of these things which have come off separately. So there's this alignment with brand marketing, making sure that the brand voice is consistent. There are these, so to speak, post sales customer success centric events that are to be owned by them. There is this piece on customer comms. So all customer comms goes through customer marketing. And then it's also driving that voice of customer, so to speak, both across existing customers and the companies, which means getting testimonials, success stories shared both internally to, you know, within the company, externally to prospects, and within the existing customer ecosystem. So that's also there. What else do you think we missed from this piece? What else is customer marketing supposed to own?
So I think we touched upon community. That's again,
yeah,
like
there's, yeah, a community heavy is one we missed. Right? Yeah.
So like all the different things that you spoke about, that's what we used to define as engagement. While there's a growth piece, there's also consciously somebody thinking about the entire customer journey, trying to understand how we communicate.
This is all post-sale.
So all the things that you just spoke about, right? How do we ensure we're you know, aligning with product marketing and brand and so on, and then ensuring we're engaging with our customers meaningfully. purely through from an adoption perspective, ensuring them, you know, there's like an onboarding function, for instance.
There's an education piece. Sorry, it's just coming to me. There's an education piece, which we talked about as well, where you're supposed to educate not just on the product that they're using, but other products that the company might be selling on. Because don't assume that just because it's there, that your customers will be aware that they exist.
Sorry. There is one more angle to it. There is thought leadership and there is academy as well.
Right.
Okay. I'd like to know more about that once Shastri talks about. Yeah. So you're saying something about the onboarding piece as well.
Yeah. So I think pretty much like four pillars to it, right? And in some sense, at least to me personally, the engagement and growth is one piece, because I don't believe in driving growth independently. Like, I don't want to sort of incentivize anyone to say, you just get me a lead number and revenue, because that then kills the whole purpose of it. So there is one team that's thinking of the customer journey and identifying the right growth touch points, and then, you know, focusing marketing activities there to sort of, you know, influence revenue, and then it's working with sales teams to understand what help they need. They're working with CSMs to drive adoption based marketing initiatives and so on. Then there is the whole piece on advocacy, which is, again, as you pass them through and they become a champion, how do you then, you know, even after they become a champion, I think the biggest mistake that a lot of companies do, and like we also learned it over time, is we just assume that, oh, the customer is happy, so he'll do anything for you. So what happens is, most of the time, it's just the relationship that the product, he's happy, that's fine. But customer does something for you only when the CSM has a relationship. So we were in this as a customer marketing function. I mean, it was a constant struggle, and we used to torture CSMs to say, hey, now we need another speaker. Go get me another speaker. And oftentimes what happens is there are only few customers where CSM has deep relationship with. So you will end up hitting the same customer again and again. And by the time a large corporate event comes up, you realize that you've used this person for really small webinars that you've done somewhere in some small region. So, like, you know, strategically thinking about who these advocates are, and before going to them with an ask, now that they're an advocate, what have you actually done for them as a company, right? Like, somebody's championing your product and they're, you know, happy about it. How do you proactively reward and recognize them? And by rewards, I think another big, you know, thing is that people think sending out champagne bottles and chocolate boxes, I mean, that works once in a while, but I mean, we're all professionals at the end of the day, and we're talking about directors and VPs, or even if you look at managers, I think everybody is looking at how to shine professionally in their network. So we sort of started moving initiatives towards those. People want to be seen on LinkedIn, known for driving thought leadership. People want to go out there and author a white paper along with Freshworks, for instance. They want to have a one-on-one session with like the best influencers.
They want to be a speaker at events, like they want to be the hero.
Yeah. Right. So I think we just, like, the whole piece around advocacy, right? Like, how do you, at the end of the day, it's a person sitting on the other side, and how do we drive them through this whole journey, that when you go to them with an ask, there can't be a no, right?
How do you shine a spotlight on your customers? You know, I remember, like, when a few employees, the first time they were given speaking engagements, they were over the moon. And after that, their profile picture was changed to them on the stage talking about something. It is meaningful, right? Even if I were to put myself in their shoes, like, the first time I got to speak at an event, that was an incredible opportunity for me. I was nervous, but I was also very elated and excited that I was given this level of respect, that someone thought my words are meaningful and useful to the audience that they have. Fairly important points. There's a controversial and actually a very subjective question. How do you know a customer is a champion?
So now, again, there is a whole SMB aspect to it. Then there's a whole mid-market aspect to it. So on the SMB side, you have a lot of data that you're collecting on how they're using your product, whether they've reviewed you on G2 Crowd and so on. Then there's an NPS that we send out on a regular basis. So you automatically know who's happy or neutral or sad. Then there is an entire algorithm based on how regularly they're paying you, how actively they're logging in and using the product, how happy or sad have they been with when they've engaged with your customer support. All this put together comes up with, like, you know, a health score of sorts. Right. So you sort of marry the health score and the NPS and then you already get a sense of who's happy, right? Yeah. That's when you have data and volume at scale, but this won't work for large enterprise companies, right? There you're essentially relying on the salesperson, the CSM, to sort of document who your champion is and what, like, the CRM needs to be extremely updated and, like, written to say what kind of challenges they're facing right now, who's the person we can go to. And there can be people who are sad at the mid-level, but there can still be people at the higher economic buyer persona where they're still fine. So I think there it's more very, very subjective and sort of form a pod for every account to then build a perspective on who's happy or sad or who's that champion. Versus in SMB, you can still leverage all the, you know, useful data that you have to identify.
On the documenting in the CRM piece, I remember the words of Kalyan. Like, he was part of the GrowthX program at SaaSBoomi, and he had a slide. He was actually explaining, he has the best CRM, system that I can, I've ever seen. And we got him to kind of like share his learnings. And I remember the starting words of his slide deck, which was that CRM is a discipline.
Yeah.
It's not a tool, it's a discipline. So this aspect of documentation is cultural. It's not that, it's not a chore that you expect your people to do. They need to believe in that. They need to be part of that discipline to document those elements, because eventually that documentation makes an organization successful in more ways than you can imagine, from win-loss analysis, driving your pricing decisions, to customer marketing, to the words that a product marketing team might want to use on the website. It's just so, so important. That CRM is a discipline. Like, I can never forget those words.
Yeah. I hope you still have the recording. I think I need to show it to my team.
Yeah, we do have the recording.
I think everybody wants to show it to all their teams.
I'll arrange the recording for you as well. But it's a must see. It was a great learning experience. Thank you, Kalyan, for doing that. Like, if you're listening, thanks for doing that. I think we're closing in on the time, Arvind, and I think this is your favorite part. We are in the favorite part of this podcast where Arvind peppers the guest with rapid fire questions.
See, when Arvind says rapid fire, I get really nervous.
I don't get to answer, but I get nervous as well. So I am with you. But before we get to rapid fire, please subscribe to this podcast. Like, we do this to bring out the success stories in the Indian marketing space. People have a lot to share in all kinds of aspects. It's not just the West which is nailing marketing. Indian companies are cracking marketing in how, and we aim to get all those success stories out to you folks. So please subscribe, like, share this podcast. This is a pro bono initiative as part of SaaSBoomi. This is just to make sure that when the Product Nation dream gets realized of SaaSBoomi, we are better at marketing than West, not just on par. Arvind, over to you.
Sri, ready?
Yes.
This is not going to be the rapid fire like what we have it in the parties. This is just the one podcast. All right, so I'll start with the easy one. What's your favorite holiday destination?
Dubai.
Interesting. Oh, for all the listeners out here, she loves shopping. I think that's
right. It's like just easy to get there, just a couple of hours, and you get access to everything in the world. So yeah, I like
that. All right, now for the real question. So one advice to someone starting out in customer marketing, because as you said, it's a very new function. Like, if you were to give a career advice to someone who wants to start their career in customer marketing, what would that be?
I think I would say it's not different from any other marketing, but the biggest advice is to talk to customers as much as possible and build that perspective. I mean, whichever job you're going to choose, understand, you know, what the brand of the organization is, and try and understand if customers really are reflecting that, and, you know, look at what customers really feel on ground, and don't focus on, you know, just putting your programs out there without doing that. I would say talking to customers, and never stop talking to customers, even through the role. So that's the biggest advice. So
empathy for customer is what you are summarizing, basically. Nice. Right. All right. So one quality you look for when you hire in customer marketing. You can't say empathy again or something else.
No, I think, see, obviously empathy is a given. But specifically now, given the whole function is evolving, what we would look for is somebody who is not very, not very adamant at doing things in a certain way, because this is an evolving function. So what we look for is, obviously, they should love working with customers, they should have empathy, but they should be with the right expectation that things change every now and then. So talking to different teams, things go in a different direction, suddenly event becomes a priority, and suddenly you have a big $1 million deal waiting for a reference. So just being agile and being open to sort of taking things as they come, and be passionate about doing that. So I would see somebody who's not very adamant on doing things their way.
I completely agree with you. Being fluid, I think that's the right one, right? They have to be fluid, and especially being in a marketing, 1,000 things will be thrown at you. And the next question, if you had to start your career all over again, what would you do differently?
Maybe join SAS much earlier. I don't know. I did have the opportunity, but I didn't know what that was. But yeah, I think what would I do differently? I'm actually happy with how it went, because I personally like exploring different functions and doing different roles. So I wouldn't have stuck to one function and been there years together. I love being in whatever is evolving. Like when I was doing customer success, that was the time when CS as a concept was getting formed and customer success was a thing there. So yeah, I think I'm happy with how it went. So.
I think one last question, which is the most used app in your phone?
Instagram.
Isn't it for everyone now?
Nice. Yeah, with that, we came to the end of this podcast. It was really, really lovely having you in this podcast, and we are looking forward to host you again in future. Good luck with your new journey at Sprinklr, and thanks once again for being part of this BTS SaaS-Boomies podcast with Varun.
A lot of learnings for me personally. Thank you. Thank you so much for opening your heart out. There's a lot that I've taken away from this conversation. I'm sure the audience has as well. Thanks for taking the time out to do this. Appreciate every bit of it.
No, thanks a lot. Thanks, Varun and Arvind. I think I truly enjoyed it, and it's been a pleasure to be part of it. And I love all the podcasts that you do. I am an avid listener of the ones that you've done earlier as well. So thanks a lot for having me here.
Awesome stuff.
Hope you enjoyed the episode.
We're building not just a product nation, but also a marketing nation.
Stay tuned for more stories. Please share your feedback or suggestions at hello@sasboomi.com.